I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The league called. Oh, sorry, we missed it. This wasn't no damn regular season game. This will go to the Super Bowl. Come on. You cannot miss that. That's totally unacceptable. And you know why I know I'm objective? If that call would have been vice versa. Okay, let's say it would have been in the Saints' favor. We'd be all excited to be going to the Super Bowl. I would tell you the Rams got cheated.
Liar.
That's the bottom line. It was so obvious it wasn't even a judgment call.
That's a lie. I don't believe that for one second. That's Bobby Hebert out in New Orleans whining about the call that wasn't. Clint Sterner calls it the worst call he's ever seen. I actually can understand why the flag wasn't thrown in full speed, but in slow motion. If we all had the benefit of slow motion, I don't think any calls would be wrong, Clint.
No, I'll agree with that if you had the benefit, but I will not agree with that relative to this call. That you can fast forward that.
Put
on
it
video.
On the money, Breeze. Don't underthrow it, and you get the call there.
You can fast forward that video right there, and I'm going to tell you, 10 out of 10 times, that's pass interference.
Deshaun Watson, a Pro Bowler for you Houston Texans. The Patriots advanced to the Super Bowl for the third straight year. Tom Brady unable to participate in the Pro Bowl, which means Deshaun Watson will be a Pro Bowler. Other Texans news, they will be playing in London next year against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who actually kind of own London. They do very, very well there. So the Texans will be playing in London, and Deshaun Watson will be playing in the Pro Bowl, I guess.
That's cool, man. I'm obviously, everybody that listens knows I'm a big believer and big fan of Deshaun Watson, so there's no doubt about it. He deserves any kind of recognition that he gets, and given the style of play that he's I guess put on the field since he took the starting job last year before the injury, I guess. I mean, just fireworks, big plays after big plays after big plays. So there's no doubt he deserves to be where he's at, and I tip the cap to the man for the recognition that he's getting. Hey, as far as the London deal goes, Landry, I played in several of those games. Not London, but I played in Japan.
Okay, how was that?
Once. It was really cool, man. I mean, we went over there, and that was a preseason game. Is that a regular season or a preseason game?
It's going to be a regular season ball game.
Now, that's a whole different ball game right there. Ours was a preseason, so we actually went over there, you know, for four, five, 6 days, and stayed in a hotel, and you had time to, again, because it was a preseason game, it wasn't a must win type situation where they allotted time for us to enjoy the country and enjoy the city and see some different things. So it was really fun for us to get out of your normal routine of practice, to get out of Dallas and actually go somewhere and play for 6 days. So, and I would imagine from that perspective, this London trip is the same. A lot of guys have never, more than likely, have never left the country. So it's a first time experience for them. They'll probably take a lot of their family. I would think that a lot of their family would at least go. I don't know if they'll quote unquote take them, but they will at least be there. But I think it'll be welcome. I hear people talk a lot about the jet lag from all the travel right. That's going to have to take place. But, you know, I think guys can get beyond that with the excitement of being in a new place and practicing in a new place. And it just creates a little different vibe at practice instead of the same old monotonous routine of the same locker room, same walk to the field, same smell, same city. It creates a little bit different, a little bit atmosphere that most players will not have a problem enjoying and getting up for.
The biggest problem is Jacksonville's so familiar with it. It seems like they go there every year and they have a lot of success. So if you're looking at it from a potential disadvantage, not as much jet lag, but the fact that Jacksonville's so used to it that maybe that's just a hurdle that Texans will have to overcome. But again, Texans playing Jacksonville in London. Deshaun Watson is a Pro Bowler the first time he's been there. We're going to talk about the Big 12 on the back end of this segment. But before we do that, 713-572-4610 to get in. Rob, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Landry, hey, good show, y'all. Appreciate taking the call. Hey, I just want to clarify this. So let's explain that play there. how do you not think that it wasn't a penalty? I think you're just a hot take radio guy right now.
No, I'm really not. I'm really not. And honestly, I don't care. I don't care if you disagree with me or not. I just say what I gotta say. Look, look, when you slow it down, just a second, Rob. When you slow it down and you actually watch it, yes, it looks like it was pass interference, but if you watch the play, it looks like Drew Brees underthrows the ball a little bit. So maybe the ref didn't think it was catchable. And also the receiver, if you watch, yes, he got ran through. He stops, embraces himself, anticipating the hit. And the hit looks worse because the receiver is 5'7" and he's going against a monster DB. So of course the collision looks bad. I've equated it to where if you're driving on the highway and you're in a smart car and all of a sudden you slam on the brakes, the truck is going to hit you from behind, and everybody's going to sit there and assume that yes, the truck plowed into you, but you slowing down and hitting the brakes is what made the collision worse.
Look, I'm not blame ref guy. I could care less who won, but you're just trying to have a take here. You can't simply, whether it's slow.
I just explained the take. If I were just trying to have a take, I wouldn't explain it. I don't care that Rob, like, honestly, I'm not getting any satisfaction out of Rob calling in and disagreeing with me. I'm saying that in that situation, in the bang bang play and how fast stuff goes and how much pressure's on the referee, I could understand that in the 3 seconds that play took, that's what that ref was thinking. You're sitting there watching it in slow motion.
What does it matter how big the receiver is or how many catches he has? That has absolutely nothing to do with it.
It's part of the visual. No. When the referee is standing behind a receiver who is 5'7" and the DB that's in front of the football is 5 inches bigger than him, he probably doesn't assume that the receiver is going to catch that.
A penalty is a penalty whether you're 5'2" or 6'4".
I'm just talking about the visual part. It's a judgment call. And I'm just saying that in that situation, the ref's judgment, that's probably what he was thinking.
You're reaching because you want to have a take here, and that's the bottom line.
No, that's not the bottom line. The bottom line is I'm explaining the take. I don't need to be different. I'll agree with whatever. I'll agree with whatever. If I were reaching, I'd be sitting here having some hot take on the Patriots. There's nothing different about this. That's what I saw. That's what I see. You don't see it, that's fine. And you're an idiot if you call in and if you think I'm just saying it to disagree and you call in to disagree, who's the idiot here? That's really what I see, Clint.
I see where you could have the take.
Now, if you gave me replay, yes,
right.
Of course.
Well, but here's the deal I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think your point is getting, and you may have even misspoke. I think people are taking it as you're saying it wasn't a penalty, whereas you're saying I could see where the ref ate the flag.
Yes, I can see where the ref ate the flag.
You're not saying it is or it was or it wasn't a penalty. You're saying, hey, fast motion, all things considered, I see where the ref ate the flag. It could have eaten the flag. Could he have thrown it? Sure. But I can see where he ate the flag in this instant. I can't do anything other than look at it and go, hey, man, you made a terrible mistake, the worst I've ever seen. You look at it and say, hey, it was a mistake, but I could see where it happened. That's what I'm taking from you.
And visually, a lot of times, of course, he's running full speed, so he ran through the receiver. But visually, if you stop and you brace yourself, and these guys, these receivers, let's be honest, they know how to sell stuff. Visually, if you just stop, the guy is going to run through you. Like the DB is going to run through you. That's what's going
to
happen.
And there are guys, and I don't believe that. That this pertains to this play. So I agree with your point. I disagree with it as it relates to that play. I do think that receivers in today's game and quarterbacks in today's game make decisions, one, and two, have become very, very efficient with creating pass interference calls, creating, unfortunately, the defenseless receiver calls. I think quarterbacks make decisions differently today than they did 20 years ago. 20 years ago, they didn't throw the ball over the middle into narrow windows because they didn't want to get their quarterback killed. I mean, their receivers killed. Now they do it knowing that if their receiver does get killed, the DB's going to get kicked out and they're going to get a 15-yard penalty. So there is no doubt that in today's game, receivers are good at creating it. Quarterbacks are good at throwing into coverages and stuff like that, knowing that pass interference and penalties are more than likely going to occur. But in this situation, again, Landry, I can't, We can't disagree anymore on this situation. That is the worst call that I've ever seen.
And I would really just like to have seen what it would have looked like if he would have kept running. If the receiver would have kept running, I think there's potential that we see the ball just again, if Breeze just puts that more in front of him, you want to put that, you know, closer to the 5 yard line, right?
Oh, I just saw the ball. I was trying to see the ball hit the ground inbounds about 2 yards beyond where the collision took place. So I think it would have been a pretty accurate throw had they been throwing that on air. You know what I mean? If the DB had not been there, they'd been throwing that on air. I'm going to go out on a limb and say it more than likely would have been caught. So the placement of the ball is pretty solid as far as I'm seeing. But again, to me, it's the DB not playing the ball. That's where the pass interference comes into play. Contacting the receiver before the ball gets there, and in no effort, in no form or fashion was he playing the ball. So I don't care if he hit him like a Mack truck or he just brushed his arm, it's pass interference.
James, the golf ball guy, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, I have been away from football for 3 years because of the whole kneeling thing, but I watched that game. I want you to know that's the most disgusting thing I've seen the NFL failing at. I thought 4 or 5 years ago that they actually made rules where the actual NFL can actually stop and do a refereeing call. That caused, to me, I believe that caused that touchdown, which would have most likely that helped New Orleans win. There should be no, there should be some type of NFL action on this. I mean, the refereeing really sucked. I mean, the head-to-head thing is one, and then hitting him before the ball got there, knocked him out of the way where he couldn't catch it. I mean, this is blatant, man. I mean, I don't watch football really anymore because of that thing, but I just want your opinion off air.
Welcome back to the game, James.
There you go. Welcome back
on
a huge
three-year
hiatus,
man. You came back at the right time.
Hey, but seriously, man. I mean, think about. And I don't.
If I was a Saints fan, I'd probably be singing a different tune.
I don't mean to pour gas.
Look at him stop there, Clint. They're showing
gas.
Look at this guy stop.
They're showing the highlight, and they just keep showing it over.
Look at this little guy stop. No wonder he had 3 catches all year.
I don't mean to pour gas on it, Landry, but it's one of those deals where you go, think about what that one call.
Livelihood. The livelihood of the players, the coaches, it's on the line.
I mean, isn't it crazy,
it's,
man?
It's insane.
You change. You go. Drew Brees goes from being the leading passer for yardage and whatever else he holds.
Looking for a second Super Bowl.
To being, having a chance at the second Super Bowl. And you know that second Super Bowl puts him in the top 3 or top 5 of all time without an argument, puts him in those top 3 or 5 of all time. So just think about that call or no call and what it, you know, what it resulted in, it, or what it affected. We don't know if they would have won the Super Bowl or not, but just how, you know, the impact that
man
could have on the Saints, man, that's tough. Hey, Landry asked me earlier in the break, like, if I ever thought about coaching, like really coaching. That's another reason, Landry, why I couldn't coach. If I were Sean Payton, I would have went to midfield and stood at midfield and said, y'all are not running. This game is not going on. You're going to arrest me and carry me off the field, or you're going to review that and find a way to make it right.
Because
you know the next play, once the next play happens, it's gone. It's water under the bridge. I would have embarrassed my family right there. I'd have been standing at the 50-yard line, and y'all would have had to handcuff me and get me off that field. And there would have been no turning back, because once my switch flips, it's over. I don't care what the results are. I don't care what the consequences are. I'd have been on the field.
That's the Baytown in you. That's Clint Sterner. I'm Landry Locker. Coming up next, the debut of Clint in the Think Tank. We'll also take some more calls, 713-572-4610. And I promise we'll get to this Big 12 stuff. That's next In the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.